welcome to this episode of All Stars of Turf, sponsored by Foley and Air2G2. We're talking today with Bill Kreuzer of Turf Grade. A lot of you know Bill from a lot of different endeavors. His work at University of Nebraska. Also, spent some time as a golf course superintendent, and now, we'll find out here in a little bit, all his work with Turf Grade, and you probably know that as the Greenkeeper app. That's probably the thing that most of you are most familiar with. But Bill, thanks for being here with us today. And obviously, you know, we typically do this with some pretty well-heeled superintendents, but I'm not sure if there's anything that makes more of anyone more qualified to be an all-star than to have their hands in so many things that are helping superintendents the way you guys are now. Tell us a little bit about Turf Grade and Greenkeeper. Who else is involved in that with you, and what was the inspiration to get that started?
Yeah, Greenkeeper is a software that I initially dreamt of as a graduate student working with Dr. Frank Rossi at Cornell. And it stemmed from some of the PGR modeling that we had started even before that when I was a master's student with Dr. Soldat at Wisconsin. And so when I got to the University of Nebraska for my job interview back in 2013, that's really when I said, we need decision support tool for golf course superintendents to help them utilize the new models and science that were coming out that were a lot more data intensive. So we launched our first pretty ugly, I would say, version of the website in 2014. And then been slowly building and growing that platform. And then in 2017, 18, when we started generating revenue, which we needed to hire our developers to keep building and improving and just do the daily maintenance of the site, the University of Nebraska said, okay, well, we're nonprofit, so you guys need to start your own company, and we'll get an agreement with the university, and then you have the rights to develop and run and manage Greenkeeper external. So quickly, I went from a professor doing teaching, taught four classes, just doing research, advising grad students, and then most of my time was dedicated to extension and working with superintendents and field managers. Now I'm running a company, and so in 2021, you know, that became my full-time job, and even in the interim, you know, worked as a golf course superintendent, and that gave me a lot of valuable feedback for my side to make sure that the app was going the direction that it needed to go, that it was user-friendly, it was solving real-world problems. So if I'm using it at, you know, a golf course, I can understand where we can improve and make the site even better. So we have a team hoping to get about a dozen employees here as we continue to grow and invest in our software. Dr. Soldat is also a partner in our company, since we developed the initial models together. And it's been really fun to watch the software grow and our clientele grow, especially over the last few years.
Maybe can you get a little bit, give us a little bit of the nuts and bolts of Greenkeeper app, exactly what it is that you can accomplish with that, and maybe also walk us through the iterations as you continue to make improvements to that. What is it that maybe you're able to determine with that now that you couldn't accomplish when you first launched it?
Yeah, so the first iteration was purely about using our growing degree day models to tell you when you need to reapply growth regulators. And then we quickly realized that, well, if we're tracking those growth regulators, we can also track applications of other products, fertilizers, pesticides. And then the doors started opening up at that point. Well, we could help out with inventory, and we could provide guidance to say, what are the best products to control a pest, and what's the best sequencing of products to minimize the risk of rotation. Or then we can give you the mixing math, and And so that's kind of what we were back in the late 2010s, late teens. And then ever since in 2020-21, we really started ramping everything up. So redesigning the website to make it easier to use. We're optimizing it for phones for this year so that it's even easier to use on a phone. And then we're providing a lot of forward-looking modeling. So one of the things that I think is the coolest new feature of a lot of new features is the ability to predict how much water you need to put down with future ET. A lot of people have talked about watering the ET and evapotranspiration, and that's always backwards looking. What was yesterday's water use? Well, now our software can give you forward looking guidance. And so you can see what happens if I put down 10 minutes tonight or 8 minutes tonight, or am I going to wilt tomorrow or the next day? We have organic matter modeling that makes predictions as to what's going to happen to your organic matter levels at different depths over the next 3 years based on how you plan to cultivate, top dress. And now we're even getting into kind of things with pests, where we have pest reports from labs and from end users. And then we can pull in data regarding the weather and their inputs to then predict what type of pest outbreaks are likely to occur at your course. So really localized modeling. And so that's been really big for us. And then we also released our CIS feature, which is our foray into looking at spatial data, editing sprayer maps, making prescription spray maps, mapping pest locations, and then we're applying our water model to that. So we can even give guidance as to how much should this green be watered tonight versus that green, because they might be in different microclimates, they might face different directions. So we started really basic, and now we're really trying to encompass all the aspects. And the whole thing about it is we want it to be easy. So the end user is doing what they normally would have done, which is, I want to apply these products today. And then we update the inventories, we update the pest models, all the other stuff is happening around something that an end user would be doing anyway, which is deciding what they want to spray today, and then what rates they want to use. And then we automate a lot of other guidance for that.
So you have this model that, or this tool that can be used. You don't have to be in Lincoln or you don't have to be in Madison, Wisconsin to use it. How long did it take to go from the drawing board through all the R&D to come up with something that was usable for someone regardless of their location?
Well, a lot of the modeling research was done at Wisconsin and Cornell, and then we started expanding it to other researchers in different locations. Like, we worked with people in the Southeast United States at NC State, Mississippi State, Auburn, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and then now even at Oregon State. And so they've evaluated our models on different grass species and find, yes, they're working. So once we had that confidence from years of research back in, 20 years ago, then it was like, okay, we know that these models are working in different grasses and they're working across different regions. So let's start building the software. And that's been the hardest thing. I mean, I always liked design, but that's kind of the burden goes on to me. Like, I have to say, design that water feature and then think, how would I want to use this as a superintendent, design it into a tool that can scale across the globe, and then share those designs with a team of computer scientists that work for our company full time, that then figure out how to actually make the user interface work, all the backend modeling. And so it really has been driven based on data first. And then once we're confident that our models are working, then we start to implement them into Greenkeeper app.
And as you had mentioned, you've expanded turf grade offerings into a lot of different segments now. So you have Greenkeeper University. For anybody who's not familiar with that, you offer certificates and degree type programs through that. Tell us a little bit about what went into that reason, the reasoning to launch that, and what are the types of things that folks can study in there, and who necessarily is your target audience for that type of instruction?
Yeah, happy. So we launched Greenkeeper University, I think, in 2019. And what the idea was that we have people that were either taking university classes at traditional university or a tech school, maybe it was years ago, or maybe a non-traditional student that has never had the opportunity to go to that school or to travel. Maybe they have family or other obligations that they can't go to a traditional university. And we have a bunch of professors, I think there's about a dozen professors that are really experts in their area. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to teach online classes that are now asynchronous? So you can take them, the video, watch the videos, take the quizzes at your own pace. And they're a really deep dive into very specific aspects of turf management. So you can have a lot of experience and still watch, say, like my PGR class, which is a one credit course. It's 7 hours of video, and it's very specific to how to schedule PGRs to accomplish different turf performance goals. And so we have very, and then I don't like teach about weeds or insects. That's not my expertise area. So we're able to leverage other professors from across the United States to have them teach specific coursework to whatever they're experts at. And then if you don't have a formal degree in turf, if you've completed some of these classes, either an introductory course, first introductory certificate, which is 25 hours of videos, or you can group together these advanced courses towards a diploma, now you can show a potential employer that you've gone through some type of training that has prepared you for a career in turf management. And so it's been really exciting to see all the students go through and get their intro certificate, but also to see students now completing their diploma and take some pride in what they've accomplished.
Yeah, what's been the reception of that
program? Oh, it's been really good. We've had superintendents that have been in the industry for 30 years that have taken dozens of courses. We've had agronomists that have taken courses and just rave about them. And then we'll have, again, maybe a crew foreman that would take the introductory course for that certificate. And it's allowed them to start to move up into management roles within the course they work at. So it really is great. I think opens the doors to a more educated workforce. And I think it solves some of the issues that we're having with staffing right now. I still think there's a lot of value to 4-year diploma degrees, but that's just not going to solve the labor crisis that we have in our industry. And so we need to look towards alternative ways to train and educate people so that they can get the most out of their career.
After 5 years or so, that's a program like that still in its relative infancy. How do you see it adapting and changing over time, whether that's adding new material and recruiting new instructors or, refreshing the content that you have now so that it remains relevant as things in the industry change in terms of, mowing heights and diseases, disease pressure and new turf grass releases and things like that, so that you always have something relevant to offer your prospective students.
Yeah, exactly. I think right now we have, it's got to be about 150 hours of content. So it's really deep. But there is going to be that changeover. And so some of the things that we've talked about with our instructors are, maybe it's not revising all of the content, but if they learn something new because of how the courses are structured, if they want to re-record a lecture, maybe with some new data, they can just record that one video and we can swap it out. So it's really easy for the instructors to stay up to date with their content. And so that's a big part of it. But this last year, we went from synchronous learning, which means you have to be in person at the same time, and now going to this more asynchronous learning management system, so that it really opens the doors for people. Let's say you're in Florida and the winter is not a slow time for you. That's a busy time, right? Or you're in the Southern Hemisphere and January is not the time to be taking online classes. So we think that that's a really important part is making this asynchronous, self-paced, so that any person seeking education can do it around their time schedule. There's no expiration on like when they have to be done. They can just keep slowly working towards their career goals and through these higher levels of certification and diploma.
Yeah, it's interesting that you offer the same, theoretically, the same sorts of things that a four-year or a formal four-year or two-year program offers, but in a different structure, so that it's not necessarily replacing what they do, but it offers an alternative to people who might not see that formal education model as something that necessarily fits their lifestyle or their career goals at the time. So it's an interesting thing that it's, like I said, it's sort of the same thing, but an alternative to where you're trying to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks, I guess.
Exactly. And someone that's taken, 8.5 years of college and then taught university classes, there's value there, but I know that there's a larger pool of people that need education. And the other thing about that too, that I think is unique about what we are offering, as opposed to, maybe taking an in-depth 3-4 hour seminar at a meeting or something, or traditional college. When I'm teaching at a university, I have to teach about everything related to turf. And I'll tell you right now, again, I'm not great at weeds and insects, but that's areas I have to teach. With the flexibility of this, we really gave the instructors kind of parlance to do whatever they wanted. If they wanted to do 20 hours on a topic, they're welcome to. If they wanted to do 4 hours on a different topic or area or field, then that's fine. So we gave the instructors a lot of flexibility to design content that is really catered around what their expertise and research is, so that even people with a master's degree or beyond are taking our classes and they're raving about them, because it's just a level of detail that you just can't get from a multi-hour seminar, or honestly from covering a 45-minute lecture at a university environment. So there's definitely pros to being at a traditional university in terms of student experience, but in terms of turf education, I would put that the hours of content we provide is some of the best that a student can receive.
Sure. Is there now or plan in the future any sort of maybe like a closed captioning system that would allow for non-English speaking students?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at ways to make it more global. And so that's a big point of emphasis for us, is to help. I think there's some new technologies that can help with that also. We recognize that there's opportunities beyond speaking to English students in America. For the most part, right? And things can be different in different countries, and obviously there's language barriers. Right. But everything's kind of on the table as we continue to grow this program.
Yeah, and not just Spanish speaking. I mean, it gives you the opportunity to really take this out on a global landscape.
Yeah.
So you worked for several years at Agar Golf Course there in Lincoln. As you were continuing to develop Turf Grade and all its offerings, how in the world were you able to manage squeezing in working as a superintendent every day as well?
It was hard, and also I had a nice staff that I would have in the summertime. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first year, 21, it was, and I barely took a weekend off type of an experience. And I loved it. I mean, I loved getting up in the morning. I enjoyed watching new golfers and the kid camps playing out there. And I really wanted to provide them with the highest quality conditioning that I could provide. I wanted to push myself. I always wanted to be a golf course superintendent. That was always the initial goal since I built the backyard putting green in high school. And so this was my true opportunity to run my own greens program, see the things I've been talking about for 8 years as a professor, are they coming together? And just to kind of change the scene, you know, from the academics to kind of get back and more engaged with the day-to-day, you know, what happens when you blow a hydraulic line on the ninth fairway at 2 o'clock on a Friday, right? I mean, like, all of those things, you just kind of put you back into perspective, which I think is really helpful as I was trying to balance that with getting Greenkeeper going, hiring, growing that team. And so, you know, as the years went on, next couple of years, I would work, you know, every morning right away. And then I get the crew started, getting sprays made, you know, went more to like an hourly where I'd be out by like 9 and I'd work Greenkeeper until 6. Right. And then finally this year, it's like I have too many research goals. So and the team, Greenkeeper's team has grown. People require me to help with their job within Greenkeeper. So now I'm full time working Greenkeeper with a team of really talented computer scientists and researchers and, you know, turfgrass professionals that are working in with us on in customer support, which is big. Like you said, the Greenkeeper has really expanded. And so one of the things that's different is as the software has gotten more complex, we needed to help onboarding. So we brought on Mark Luce, who's got 30 years in the industry as a superintendent or national product development manager for large companies. And so to bring him on and to, you know, do onboardings and trainings and make sure everybody's using the software the way it's designed, I think really is important, and it adds a lot of value and trust from our customers to keep them with us. You know, we think we have 45 of the top 100 and PGA Tour courses that use our software as of now. So we're kind of getting beyond that early adopter phase. We're seeing nice broad implementation across the country and even into international markets. And so having, you know, a good team around me that I can rely on too has also allowed me to continue to do research and develop the future products that will be built in Greenkeeper.
How much research were you doing on your own when you had sort of a laboratory at your disposal in the way of the golf course there in Lincoln?
Yeah, we were doing some. It's probably a little atypical, but I mean, every green at Agar was on a different PGR and wedding agent program, right? It's terrible to spray when you have to mix up and then change. You know, you spray a couple gallons and then you have to go clean the whole sprayer out and do it again. And then we're collecting a lot of data. So there was the research of how to use Greenkeeper, but then we also were doing a lot of research as to what happens if we mix, say, trim it in Primo or trim it in a new versus Cutlass and Legacy. And we were doing wedding agent modeling that I think is really revolutionary since wedding agents also break down depending on temperature. So the ability to go out and spray different wedding agents at different rates and sample the greens, we were able to learn a lot. So I think we brought a lot of value to the city of Lincoln. Because we were bringing all this cutting edge science and management to that golf course. I think this last year they did like, this is like triple the amount of rounds that they had done back in 2015, just because the conditioning continued to improve. We're able to help train their staff. And then we gained a lot of information using that real world research site to optimize all of our inputs and, you know, figure out irrigation scheduling, fertilizer scheduling, clipping volume tracking, and what's the logistics and the efficient way of doing it. All these important aspects. Doing it in a real world, especially like wedding agents, when you can have them on greens that are 5,000 square feet instead of a plot that's 50 feet, you can just see things at a scale that's hard to see at plot level research. And right. So it really did open the door to some new discovery that we just, it's harder to do in small scale university trial settings.
When you had all of your greens on a different program, I'm sure that had to be quite a challenge for the folks on your team. But how long did it take you to, or were you able to, before you had left, able to zero in on one that you thought was best for everything there, or were there still multiple programs because maybe the soils were different or shade issues, or, you know, there might've been some unique inconsistencies from one green to the next?
I think the most important thing that we discovered is just the importance of basic data collection. So, you know, TDR measurements on, and not just looking at them and hand watering, but entering them into Greenkeeper to then help schedule how to put just the minimum amount of water down tonight to get through tomorrow without wilt and keep things as firm as possible. And then also with things like clipping volume on a full sun green versus a shaded green, and realizing that that shady green needs more PGR to suppress the urge to outgrow the tree in the spring, but less PGR in the fall when the sugar reserves are low and it's struggling to hang on, right? So I think there really isn't a one-size-fits-all program. It's just collecting data to understand where do you want to be at your course? You know, what are some expectation levels for where's the grass look like? What's the firmness like? What's the green speed like? And then collecting the minimum amount of data needed to get a picture of are you capturing or hitting those goals? And then being adaptive in your input. So it's just like applying things with a purpose and not just applying it because in December or EOP season last year, you made this wonderful program and now you're just going to spray it. So to me, I think that's the biggest takeaway is figuring out what data you need to implement your program and then to be adaptive with your program to help to hit performance metrics so that you can have, you know, high performing turf day-to-day throughout your growing season.
Right. Well, I know you're on a little bit of a time crunch here today, but before we let you go, I don't think our conversation would be complete without going back to 2 years ago when you had that crazy incident on the golf course with the stolen spray rig. We tried to make some sense out of that in print a couple of years ago, and I'm not sure that it really did the story justice. For those who might not remember it or have never read about it at all, before we check out here today, take us through that experience and what that was like for you.
Yeah, so it was, it actually happened later that afternoon. I had a couple of the summer staff were still there just mowing rough, and I had left already. And the director of golf management maintenance at the City of Lincoln texted me and said, "Someone stole your sprayer." Because I sprayed that morning and it was sitting out, and where our shop was, there's a public pathway. And so apparently there was someone that was running from the cops, really crashed a couple of cars as they were trying to elude the police, was running through the park, saw the sprayer, which is a Frost spray systems retrofit of a Toro 1250 to give you a kind of idea what this looks like. So got a lot of high tech solenoids on it and GPS control. And he just starts rolling at the maximum 18 miles an hour that work go. Down the street, the cops chasing him. They had the police helicopter over to keep track of him as he was running through the park. And then their helicopter up looking at the sprayer running down the sidewalk on the bike path. And then finally they kind of cornered him and he ran the sprayer right into a squad car, a state patrol car, and they're able to apprehend him. So we were going, what are we, you know, we get the call from the police that the sprayer's been stolen and they know where it is, and it ran into a squad car. We're thinking, oh wow, this thing is toast. And sure enough, it wasn't, you know, a little bent bumper, but you know, turf equipment is built to take a beating. And so we had really no damage, besides the flat tires they use on the strike, the spike strips to stop the guy, but, just some new tires and we were back using it again, but it was definitely a call that you're not expecting with, you know, someone running from the police steals your sprayer.
Yeah. For all the things that superintendents have to deal with, that is not on your day-to-day list of challenges for sure.
And the unknowns of just, I don't know. I expected it to be trash. So I'm calling Frost, like, hey, what's the time to get a new sprayer? And then we see it come on a flatbed truck and we're going, oh, okay, new tires. Oh, it's a bent bumper. Checked all the solenoids, everyone's working fine. So it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. Well, Bill, look, enjoyed talking with you today. Thanks for making some time for us. It's always good to catch up, and I always appreciate every time we need to talk to you. You're always very accessible. So thank you so much for that. And best of luck to you and Doug and everybody else involved with Turf Grade and Greenkeeper.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate that.